Welcome to The Brand Advantage. This series, brought to you by Bluetex, explores how brand creates real competitive leverage by increasing enterprise visibility, strengthening credibility, and ultimately raising enterprise value. Each episode distills proven strategic thinking from the Bluetex perspective into focused, practical insight, designed to be consumed, not pitched. Strong brands create advantage long before the deal. Now let's jump into another episode of The Brand Advantage.
So I've been looking at this research on government marketing, and I'm seeing this really weird trend.
Okay.
You take a huge commercial brand, I'm talking Apple, Nike, you know, companies that are masters at selling feelings like revolution or status.
Right.
And they go to Washington, D.C., and they just, they face plant.
Faceplant is putting it gently. Sometimes they get chased right out of the room.
But why? I mean, if you can sell sneakers to a billion people,
yeah,
why is it so hard to sell software to a government agency? These are professional marketers.
Because they're walking into what people call the Beltway ecosystem. And in that world, the laws of marketing physics, they almost work backward.
Backward.
Yeah. They walk in with a playbook made for you and me, for consumers, and they don't get that the government buyer is under a totally different kind of pressure.
Okay, I get it's different, but physics working backward, that feels a little dramatic. Marketing is marketing, isn't it? You have a product, you have a buyer, you make a pitch.
Not here. See, in the commercial world, you might buy something because it's cool or new or makes you feel good. In the federal world, the buyers are, well, they're terrified.
Terrified.
They've got strict rules, these incredibly long decision cycles, and just a huge aversion to risk. Look, if I buy a bad pair of sneakers, I'm out $100. If a federal buyer makes a mistake on a tech purchase,
it's a much bigger deal.
It could be a security breach, a mission failure, maybe even a congressional hearing. The stakes are just, they're way higher.
Okay, that makes sense. So today we're doing a deep dive into a playbook. It's based on some amazing insights from Bluetex, which is a DC branding agency that lives and breathes this stuff.
Right. And we're going to try and figure out how you translate these complex ideas into actual government impact.
And this isn't just for people trying to sell, you know, fighter jets. This is a masterclass in empathy and high stakes communication.
It really is. We're going to look at the invisible funnel of procurement, why your super cool website might actually be disqualifying you, and how to survive the frenemy dynamic of government contracting.
Let's start with that psychology you mentioned, because this is where I really get stuck. In the tech world, or any business really, the golden word is disruption.
Oh, yeah. Everyone wants to be a disruptor.
Exactly. Uber disrupted taxis. Netflix disrupted cable. So if I walk into the Pentagon and say, hey, I have a disruptive new logistics system, shouldn't they be thrilled? I'm offering them the future.
You'd think so. They might love the result eventually, but that word disruption.
What about it?
It terrifies them. To a program manager, disruption sounds like risk. It sounds like breaking things that are currently, you know, sort of working.
But they do want innovation, don't they?
They want the outcome of innovation. They just don't want the chaos that comes with it. See, commercial buyers, they buy the promise of a better future. Federal buyers need proof.
Proof over promise.
Always. They need to see how your solution reduces risk, improves readiness, or strengthens compliance. They're looking for these, like, boring, safe words. Auditability, interoperability, security.
So if I walk in with my Steve Jobs turtleneck on, saying, this changes everything.
They hear, this is unproven and it might break my entire system.
Yeah.
That is exactly what they hear. And that's why the ecosystem is so important. You have to sound like a peer, a partner who gets the mission, not some vendor just pitching a widget.
Okay, so suppress the urge to be cool.
Yeah.
Focus on being safe.
Got it.
Yeah. Now let's talk about the timing. In the regular world, we have seasons, right?
Mm-hmm.
Christmas, back to school, quarterly earnings. I assume Washington has a calendar too.
They do, but it doesn't care about your product launch date. Not at all. Washington's calendar revolves around two things: policy and appropriations. The budget cycle is the heartbeat.
It's all about the money flow.
It is. Media cycles in DC are driven by policy debates. Conferences, which are huge in this world, they aren't anchored around a new iPhone launch. They're anchored around budget milestones.
So as a brand, you can't just shout when you feel like it.
Exactly. You have to align your whole campaign strategy with the rhythm of the government.
That sounds incredibly restrictive.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have to just sit on my hands until the government decides it's spending season.
In a way, yes. I mean, think of it like merging onto a highway. You have to match the speed of the traffic, right? Or you're going to cause a wreck.
Okay, so what does that look like?
You run heavy education campaigns before the market research phase. Then, when the request for information, the RFI, comes out, you switch gears. You start reinforcing your credibility.
You mentioned market research phase. The source material we're using calls this the invisible funnel. That sounds a little spooky.
It does, doesn't it? But it really explains why so many commercial companies fail here.
How so?
In the commercial world, you might put out a white paper, someone downloads it, sales calls them up, and boom, you're off to the races. In the federal world, the rules totally redefine that funnel. A huge amount of the process happens in the dark.
Define in the dark.
Okay, so before an agency even issues an RFI, before they even publicly ask for solutions, they are already researching. They're looking at the category, seeing who the leaders are, talking to consultants.
So if you aren't discoverable and credible before that RFI comes out,
you've probably already lost.
That's terrifying. It's like the interview is happening before you even apply for the job.
That is the perfect analogy. By the time the job posting is public, they usually have a pretty good idea of who they want to hire.
So what's the move then?
That's why Bluetext argues you have to establish category leadership early. You can't just focus on demand capture, you know, just trying to get leads. You have to focus on thought leadership that actually shifts beliefs way before the paperwork even starts.
Okay, so it's a very, very long game. Yeah. But there's something else that stood out to me. In business, it's usually you versus the competition. You know, Coke versus Pepsi.
Right.
But in government contracting, there's this idea of teaming.
This is so unique to B2G. A lot of times, a contract is just too big for one company to handle. So you have a prime contractor, that's the big dog, and then smaller companies join their team as subcontractors.
So you're essentially working with your competitors.
All the time. You might be competitors on one contract and partners on the very next one.
From a branding perspective, that sounds like a total nightmare. If I'm the small guy doing the really innovative work, but the big prime contractor gets the contract, doesn't my brand just vanish?
That is the trap. You can absolutely vanish into the prime's shadow. The fix is what Bluetext calls the Intel Inside strategy.
Like the computer chips.
Exactly like the computer chips. You don't buy a computer because of the chip manufacturer, right? Yeah. You buy a Dell or an HP, but you look for that little Intel Inside sticker because it guarantees a certain level of performance.
So I need to be the sticker.
You need to create modular messaging that the prime wants to use because it makes their bid stronger.
So you're not saying, look at us, we're amazing.
No, you're saying we make the prime's bid 20% cheaper and 100% more compliant. You become the ingredient they can't bake the cake without. You have to enable them to sell you.
That requires a serious lack of ego. You have to be okay with being the ingredient, not the cake.
If you want the revenue, yes, you do.
So let's talk about the language then. We know disruption is a dirty word. The source material talks about using mission language. What does that actually look like?
It starts with answering three simple questions. Why change? Why now? And why you?
That's pretty standard sales stuff.
It is, but the answers are totally different. Why change? Shouldn't be because our software is faster. It should be because your current legacy system is exposing you to supply chain vulnerabilities.
Ah, so you have to tie it to their pain.
And their pain is almost always risk or compliance. You're showing them the reality of their situation, and you have to cut the fluff. Commercial buzzwords, they just kill your credibility here.
Give me an example.
If you say you're revolutionizing the cloud, a federal buyer just rolls their eyes. But if you say you're ensuring data sovereignty and achieving authority to operate, they lean in.
Wait, authority to operate? You said that before. It sounds like a permit you'd get from the city to build a deck on your house.
I wish it were that simple. Think of an ATO less like a permit and more like a security clearance for software.
Oh.
Without an ATO, your software literally cannot run on a government network, period. It doesn't matter how great your tech is. If you don't have that certification, or at least a clear path to get it, you aren't just losing the deal. You aren't even allowed to play the game.
But it's a gatekeeper.
It's the gatekeeper. And this brings us back to proof points. In DC, evidence is everything. You can't just claim you're secure. You need to show your ATO milestones. You need compliance achievements, independent testing, accreditation.
So instead of a testimonial from a happy CEO saying, I love this product, you want a spreadsheet.
You want cold, hard stats tied to program KPIs. We reduced incident response time by 40%. We achieved FedRAMP high authorization. Those are the gold stars. And you need to put those everywhere. Proposal covers, digital ads, secure portals, everywhere.
Okay, let's pivot to where this information lives.
Yeah.
The website. Now, I'm a commercial marketer. I want a website that pops. I want video backgrounds, chatbots, interactive storytelling.
And if you do that in B2G, you might just be killing your sales.
Come on. Everybody likes a nice website.
You have to picture the user. It's not some Gen Z kid on an iPhone. It's a contracting officer. They are overworked, probably tired, and they are browsing on a secure government network.
Which means what?
Which means it blocks half the internet and loads at like 1990s speeds.
So my beautiful high-res animation of the spinning globe is...
is still loading while they've already hit the back button.
Yeah.
It's the first filter. They are looking for specific data to verify you are who you say you are. If they can't find your contract codes, your NAICS, your UEI in 10 seconds, you look risky.
Okay, hold on. NAICS, UEI. You're throwing alphabet soup at me now.
Sorry, it's a hazard of the trade. NAICS is North American Industry Classification System. It's a code that tells the government what industry you're in. UEI is a unique entity ID.
So they're like license plates.
They're exactly like license plates. If you don't display them, the government assumes you aren't a registered vehicle.
So if I bury those codes in the footer because they look ugly, I could lose the deal.
You absolutely might. And looking risky in this town is a death sentence.
Okay, there's another thing marketers love to do, gating content. You know, give us your email to download this white paper. It's standard lead gen. But the research says this is a really bad idea for government.
It's a huge pitfall. Think about that secure network again. A lot of federal employees are on devices with super strict security policies. They might not be allowed to fill out forms on external sites.
Or the form just won't even load.
Exactly. Their browser might block the script entirely, so you're asking for data they physically can't give you.
So I'm locking the door, but they don't even have the key.
You got it. You have to provide a mix. You can keep some high-value stuff gated if you must, but you need ungated asset solution proofs, past performance records, so that a security-minded visitor can still get in and verify your claims.
That is such a specific constraint. It really just shows you have to empathize with the user's reality, not just what you want as a marketer.
Empathy is the whole game.
So, okay, we've got the website sorted. We're being empathetic.
Right.
But the sales cycle in government can take years, long, long years. How on earth do you measure if any of this is actually working? You can't just look at next week's sales figures.
Right. Measuring the immeasurables. It is tough. You have to look at leading indicators. Share of voice and mission-specific media is one. You know, are the niche publications that matter talking about you?
Okay.
But the real secret sauce is something called message pull-through.
Message pull-through. Sounds like a plumbing issue.
It's actually the holy grail of B2G marketing. It requires a little bit of detective work. You have to monitor the RFIs, those requests for information coming out of the agencies.
So you're reading government paperwork for fun.
You're reading it for clues. You're looking to see if your specific phrasing shows up in their requirements.
Wait, explain that.
Okay, let's say you spent 6 months writing content about resilient data sovereignty. You define it, you own it. Then, in September, the Navy issues a request asking for a solution that provides resilient data sovereignty.
You know they've been reading your stuff.
Exactly. You've won the battle of ideas. You define the problem and the requirements before the competition even got started. That is how you know your marketing is working, long before a contract is ever signed.
That is incredibly powerful. You're essentially writing the test questions that everyone else has to answer.
That's the goal.
So before we wrap up, let's look ahead a bit. What are the big trends? We hear about AI everywhere. Is that the big thing in DC too?
It is, yeah. That along with zero trust and supply chain resilience. But... and this is a huge azilia, but do not overhype these things.
Back to that proof over promise thing.
Exactly. If you claim your AI solves everything, you instantly lose credibility. You have to tie your claims to specific mandates, to reference architectures, and use plain language about the limits of the technology.
That seems counterintuitive. Yeah. Sales is usually about hiding the limits.
Not in DC. Saying, here is what our AI cannot do yet, actually builds more trust than saying it does magic. It shows you understand the risk profile.
It's a really sophisticated way to look at trust.
It's the only way that works in that town.
So let's bring it all home. We've covered a lot. If we look at the stepwise approach from Bluetext, it really flows. You clarify your growth thesis. Where can we actually win? You codify your positioning, get that story straight. Then you build the assets.
The decks, the accessible site, all of it.
Right. Then you activate that thought leadership to feed the invisible funnel. And then you measure it with things like message pull-through.
It's a loop. It's not a straight line. And it requires a ton of patience.
It really feels like this matters even if you aren't selling to the government. It's a masterclass in precision communication. It's about knowing your audience so well that you stop talking about yourself and start talking about their problems in their language.
That's the goal of it. I mean, whether you're selling to the Department of Defense or a skeptical CFO in a corporation, the principles hold up. Respect their time, respect their risk profile, and prove your value.
So here is the final thought for you to chew on today. We talked about the invisible funnel and silent research. We know decisions are being shaped long before you ever get a phone call. So the question is your brand sitting by the phone waiting to be invited to the table? Or is your brand already in the kitchen shaping the menu before the guests even arrive?
That is the difference between being a vendor and being a leader.
Thanks for listening to this deep dive. Stay curious, and we'll catch you on the next one.